So this evening, okay, where are we now? We kind of like we have lesson number one on the my meat is doing his will. Okay, so here you set your purpose. You purpose in your heart. In fact, I missed out some of the point, like Daniel purpose in the heart. You know, then you find that when you look at the life of Daniel always do the right thing because he started by purpose in his heart to do right. And so that is where if reflecting Christ is what you want to do in life, then you should have that as your goal in life, your purpose in life. My meat is doing His will. Then I have the second lesson. The second lesson we go on this: do as I have done. And here is what our Lord Jesus Christ told us. He came to this world. The disciple wanted to be served, and Jesus Christ say, I came to serve and to give. So we have two lessons, one on do as I have done, and I came to give. I hope we learn how to give like the Lord Jesus Christ. Then this morning we look at be holy, for I am holy. This is a command from the Lord. The Lord said, be holy, for I am holy. So this evening, lesson number five, how to reflect Christ in my workplace. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18 to 25. Here the word of God tells in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Here the word of God says, servants, okay, everybody there, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Servants, be subject to your master with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. So here, we are not talking about just good bosses, okay? Even bad one. And the word of God tells us here, subject to your master with all fear, and not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. For this is thanksworthy, if a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory it is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently. But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called. Then go on to say, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his step. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sin in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. So here we have, okay, this portion of scripture, and it started by, at the end of the last few verses, talk about salvation. We know that salvation is a free gift of God, and but it cost God His only begotten Son. It was very costly for God to provide salvation to this sinful world. Just because it's given freely to us, it doesn't mean that it costs nothing. Jesus Christ, our Savior, had to suffer and to die on the cross in order that you and I may be saved, in order that our sin can be forgiven. And Christ suffered for us. That's what 1 Peter chapter 1, chapter 2 verse 21 tells us. Christ suffered for us. You know, if you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can sing the song, wounded for me, wounded for me. Now there on the cross, He was wounded for me, gone my transgression, and now I am free. All because Jesus was wounded for me. You can sing that song. Jesus Christ died in our place as our substitute. He took our place on the cross for us. He suffered for our sin. 1 Peter 2:24 say, who His own self bare our sin in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21 say, for He had made him to be sin for us, that means God had made him to be sin for us, who know no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You know, when we believe the Lord Jesus Christ, accepting as our personal Savior, God imputed his righteousness upon us. It's not that we become righteous. You know, you know the Chinese character, the old writing for righteous, Yi. If there's a lamb, am I right, Yang? What is below? Okay, the lamb over me. If you break up the, do you know the, you know, puso? When you look for the Chinese character, you normally look for either the pinyin or you look for the puso, we call it, which part to look for. You know how to look for the Chinese character, wo, me, in the dictionary, which, how do you look for wo? You look for that part on the right hand side. No, not the left. Left is hand, am I right? So. No, you cannot find the word wo, the character wo, me, if you use the left hand side. You must use the right hand side. The right hand side is ge. Ge. I think ge. It's a dagger, it's a knife. The word Chinese character for me is a hand with a knife. I'm guilty. A hand with a knife. That is me. So I'm a sinner. A hand in the knife. A knife in the hand. I'm guilty. But then when Jesus Christ died for me, I accepted him as my Savior, there's a lamb over me and I'm righteous. Not because I'm perfect, but because God looked at the lamb. The lamb is over me. God looked at me through the lamb. And that's why you find that this righteousness is imputed upon us. And so Jesus Christ bore our sin. In fact, the sin of the whole world in his own body. He took all the sin of the whole world, the Bible tells us. So Christ suffered, though he was sinless. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22 say, who did no sin, neither was God found in his mouth. Jesus Christ did not deserve to suffer. He is not supposed to die. He had lived a sinless and perfect life. The Bible clearly says that Jesus Christ did no sin. Jesus never sinned. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 to 19, this morning we talk about the holiness. He said, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. That is our Savior. He was perfect. No sin. But he died for you, and he died for me, in order to provide salvation to us. So if you have sinned, sorry, if you have received Christ, you can sing that song, Wounded for Me. It's true, Jesus Christ suffered for you. Jesus Christ has died for you. And you should remember that. But if you have not received Christ, there are some in our midst here, if you have not received Christ as your personal Lord, a personal Savior, then the Bible tells that you are a sheep gone astray. That's what 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 25 tells us. You know, you are still in that condition. We were like that one time. Now we were saved. So we were at one time a sheep going astray. But now if you are not saved, you are, the Bible says, sheep gone astray. You need to come back. The Bible tells us you have this great and urgent call of God by those who are saved, okay? You need to return to the shepherd and the bishop of your soul. So in other words, you need to get saved. So if you are not saved, you are gone astray. You need to come back to the shepherd and bishop of your soul. You need to return to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to accept him as your personal Lord and Savior. So if you are saved, you sing the song, Wounded for Me. If you are not saved, return to the shepherd and bishop of your soul. For those of us who are saved, okay. For those of us who are saved, we have a great challenge. For those who are not saved, they have a great call. God has a great call for them. But for us who are saved, there is a great challenge. The challenge is found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Now let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 again. Hear the word of God say, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us. So basically, whatever that he said earlier on, in fact, if you started, I think, in verse 13, I think, and he talked about submitting to the government, and then servants serve your master, and then say, for even hereunto were ye called. Say, those things I ask you to do is not too much, because this is how you were called. And then you go on to say, because Christ also suffered for us. So you must remember, in the first place, Christ suffered for you. Then he goes on to say, leaving us, oh, this is the challenge, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. And so now we have a great challenge. The suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ is an example for us to follow. Oh man, that is something. So here you find that. That's why I say, so this is the challenge. We are challenged to, in certain ways, suffer for Christ. So that's why early on we talk about submitting to the government. In the same passage, okay, if you refer, maybe I should look, turn there first, okay? No, maybe later. So here you find that we are challenged to suffer for Christ. Because Christ has suffered for us, leaving us an example to follow. And then you find that if our Christianity does not cost us much, if being a Christian doesn't cost you much, our Christianity is very superficial. If it doesn't cost you anything, it's very superficial. And which is very true. You know, if you go to a country where they are being persecuted, Christians being persecuted, they tend to be more faithful. Tends to be more real. Because you find that it's a serious business. But when you go to a country where everything kind of like easy going, you know, and being a Christian, like, okay, it's good to be a Christian, and people look, they won't look down at you as a Christian, and you are not being persecuted as a Christian, sometimes it tends to become more shallow. If we, being Christian, do not in any way, after being a Christian, do not in any way inconvenience you, our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, quite likely, is not too close. It's not very close. We are kind of like follow the Lord from a distance. We are, in fact, just like Peter, follow the Lord afar. Not even close. When we become complacent in our Christian life, it means that, quite likely, we are backslidden. When you become indifferent, complacent, quite likely, you are backslidden. You tell me the answer, okay? I just say quite likely. I don't want to hurt your feeling. So, but you ask the question and you ask yourself. And most likely we are drifting away from the Lord. You know, we are not serious about our Christian life. Because you find that if we are serious in following the Lord, and if we earnestly try to be like him, then you find that life is not going to be that comfortable. Because here, Jesus Christ say, the Bible says that he suffered for us, leaving us an example that we follow his steps. The word example, it means the pattern, or like some picture or blueprint, okay? Or like the teacher write a letter, like I put there reflecting Christ, like let's say this is a pattern, and if I want you to draw, and everybody's supposed to draw exactly the same, that is a pattern, that's what it means. It's like the pattern for you to follow. This pattern is to be copied or to be reproduced. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ tried to tell us. He said he leave behind us an example, a pattern for you to reproduce, to copy and reproduce and make more. And also every one of us supposed to be the same like him eventually. He leave behind an example. And in fact, what does it mean to follow Jesus' footstep? It means to surrender our will to God totally, without reservation. Jesus Christ committed himself totally to God, okay, knowing that God would somehow vindicate him. And so we are supposed to do the same thing. You know, the word follow is a very interesting word. It's a picture of you follow, let's say, a guide.
you know, and you're supposed to follow the guide. I mean, if you have followed some tour, if you have go overseas and you follow some tour, then I mean there's a guide, you will hold either his cap or hold a flag, you know, small flag, you know. Then everybody's supposed to follow. If you don't follow, you might somehow end up somewhere, you don't know where is it. And so you have to look for that and keep following. But here, this follow, they even have something more, not just follow from a distance or closely. The whole idea here is that, maybe I should put it this way. Okay. When I was young, there was one time, I went to this, somehow, called jungle, but not really a deep jungle, but it's also a jungle in a certain way. So we wanted to camp inside with my friend. And so what we did was we climbed, and then normally we're supposed to stop at the campsite, but that day we decided to go further in. So to go further in, we come to a point, there's one part that is very slippery, and then you have, it's like kind of like a cliff, there are some rock, in between the rock there's a gap in between, that means if you are not careful, you can plunge all the way down, and some are quite deep. And so, one of the friends who have been there, and he said, this portion is very dangerous, you must follow my footsteps. And what he means is that where he put his foot, he go to the next step, then the one behind him must make sure you put your foot at the right spot. Because if you miss, you will slide down sometime. And it's very slippery. So you follow. That is, the guy in front is more experienced. The rest of us have to follow step by step. And that's what the Bible tried to tell us. When I was following the friend in front of me, I was not the one next, right behind the friend who were experienced. I was somewhere in the middle. It came to one point, and I was supposed to put my foot on that pattern, that spot. I miss it. I miss that part. And I just find myself pull up with my two hands and 2 feet pointing the sky. And I just lie down. I'm glad that portion was not very, very deep. It's only about 6 feet to 7 feet deep. So I only injured my hand, but I was wearing a jean, so nothing happened to my leg except the shoe and my hand. You know, and so if you don't follow, when you say, the Bible says follow his footsteps, that's how close we follow him. You make a mistake, you fail, you know, or you fall, and you have to follow that close. That's what our Lord, what the Word of God tried to tell us here. You are going through a very rocky and difficult path, and so you need to actually put your feet in his footprint as you follow him. So we need to follow him step by step, moment by moment, day by day. The Lord give us an example of how we should live in this world as a Christian. You know, it's true, he says we should suffer like him, suffer for us. But I don't think the Lord just wants us to suffer. He wants us to live our Christian life as he suffered for us. He wants us to somehow live in the way, with that in mind, live for the Lord Jesus Christ in the way will bring glory to him. And so here you find that if you look at 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 13. And here the Bible tells us, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king or as supreme. Then you go on, you talk about submitting to the government, to the authorities. And then in then our text, okay, just now that one we read, you know, talk about servant, but how does it go? Servant, be subject to your master with all fear. And then right in the middle he says, for wherein are ye called, okay? And then it's Jesus leaving us an example. And so here you find that God wants us to, because he has suffered for us, we need to follow his example, be willing to submit to the government. Because he has suffered for us, we need to be subject to our master on earth. And then you find that not just that, Our whole Christian life should be different when you know and understand that Jesus Christ suffered for you. In 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 1, it's still the same context. In 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 1, the Bible says, likewise, what? Ye wives, okay, likewise ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband. Then you can go on. The rest I'm not going to read because I'm not preaching from here. So he says, likewise ye wife. But then, husband don't laugh, okay? Verse 7, likewise ye husband. So he says, Christ has suffered for you. So now, wife, this is how you're supposed to live. Christ has suffered for you. Now husband, if you're a husband, that's how you're supposed to live. Early on, God said every one of us supposed to submit to the government. Every one of us, if you're working, you're supposed to be subject to your master on earth. Then if you're a wife, likewise, e-wife. Same context, okay? Jesus suffered for you, likewise, e-wife. Then verse 7, likewise, e-husband. Go back to the same context. Jesus Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we follow his footsteps. Then not only that, you go further, 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 1, he says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. You see, it's the same context. Christ has suffered for you. That's how you're supposed to live. Then in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the pastor. Okay, or the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and give grace to the humble. Do you know, when you sing the song, wonder for me, wonder for me, that means you're supposed to be different as a citizen of your country. You're supposed to be different as a worker in your office. If you are married, you're supposed to be different. You're supposed to be a different wife, a kind of godly wife, a godly husband. And then in the church, supposed to be different, submitting to one another and submitting to the elders. And this is what God expects from us. Actually, at first I wanted to preach just from this passage, you know, and from 1 Peter, because 1 Peter basically gives us all the practical aspect of our Christian life whereby we can reflect our Lord Jesus Christ. But of course I decided to do a different thing. And so here you find that this is what the Lord wants us to do. Okay, that is the whole context. So on your own, you can actually study 1 Peter. And there's a lot of practical lesson there for us to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. Because it makes it so clear that Christ has left us an example. And then the word likewise appears so many times in that book, that epistle. Likewise, likewise, likewise. So now, how to reflect Christ? Actually, I could have choose one of them. I could choose submitting to government. And I say, okay, all you Singaporean, all very submissive. So no need to talk about that. If I'm in Hong Kong, maybe I preach on that. And so then, maybe not all of you are husband, not all of you are, because I can only pick one. If I preach on the wife, I cannot preach about the husband. Then it's not fair. And then the lady may not like me after that. And then if I preach against the husband, then they will not buy me lunch later. And then things like that. So I preach on both or I don't. So I decided to just pick on this, how to reflect Christ in our workplace. One of the practical lessons where you can use in your workplace. The word servant means, here, okay, it means household servant. In those days, many of them were slaves. Basically, that's what it means, slave. You don't have any right, okay? It's interesting that Peter did not ask them to accept their right and leave their master. I mean, but you're safe now, okay? Try to break away from that. No, he did not. Instead, he asked them to be subject to their master with all fear. Well, we sometimes complain a lot about earthly bosses, earthly master. But the word of God says we're supposed to subject to them with all fear. Peter, as he was inspired by God, the Holy Spirit, commanded the Christian servant to submit their master and obey their earthly master.
That's what we're supposed to do. I believe we don't have any slave here, am I right? Anyone who is a slave? Maybe the wife say yes, I'm a slave at home. Or the husband. Sometimes you have queen rule, okay? I'm not preaching the message on that, but I have a lot of oil on that. So either, I know many people somehow, they might not know how to play international chess, but somehow they like the rule of the international chess in their home. Queen rules. Queen is number one. The most powerful piece in the chessboard is the queen. So some home, the most powerful one is the queen. The queen say go, you means you cannot stop. You better get away. So yeah. But here is the husband, okay? Not about husband and wife, but talking about working, okay? So we don't have slave here. But however, many of us, I believe, are working. We are employees. I believe the same principle apply to workers today. We are servant to our earthly bosses. God expects us to submit to them. We all fear. And the word of God also make sure that you know what God is trying to tell you. God say the good and gentle one, also the forward. You say, oh pastor, you don't understand. That or preacher, you don't understand. My boss is very wicked. No. God say, in case you come up with that kind of argument, God say, the good and gentle you're supposed to submit. Even the forward also you're supposed to submit. You're not going to pick and choose, okay? God say you submit to them. We are to submit, okay, to good and gentle master, as well as our forward master. Christian servant must show submission and in certain way respect to their master. So actually, it's not very wise for Christian workers during the coffee break or during the lunch break sit down with other colleagues and talk about all the bad things about your bosses. It's not biblical, do you know? It's not Christian. Other colleagues, they can say whatever they want about your boss. But as a Christian, we are not supposed to even say anything bad about our bosses. I'm not saying that they are perfect. In fact, the word of God made very clear. Even the forward, don't say anything bad about them. We're supposed to fear, respect them. Even, you know, even if your boss is unreasonable and hard to get along with, we might want to fight back, but it's wrong in the sight of the Lord, in the sight of God. You know, God expects us to submit to our employer, unless you are asked by your boss to do something contradicting the scriptures. Otherwise, there's no reason for you to go against your bosses. So now, you see, pastor, it's really tough. Okay, so I'm going to give you 3 points. How to deal with your boss. Point number one, change your boss. Point number two, change your goal. Point number three, change your view. Okay, now let's change your boss. I know some of you are eager to go back to your room now and start typing your resignation letter. But this is not what I'm talking about. I'm not asking you to resign from your present job. To submit to your employer, you must change your boss, but not necessarily your job. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. Here the Bible tells in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. Servant, okay, servant, are you still awake? Anyone in the screen saving mode? Yesterday, I'm glad that most of you are awake. Today, anyone sleeping? If you are sleeping, please raise your hand. So here you find that Ephesians chapter 6 verse 5, servant, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling. That's how God looked at it. And then he say, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as man pleaser, but as a servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to man. That's what I mean. Change your boss. Don't work for man. Work for Christ. So tomorrow you go to your office, tell yourself, I'm not working for this boss. I'm working for Christ in this company. You should change your master without changing your job. You must see your earthly master or your earthly employer as the one whom Christ had personally assigned to you for your benefit. It is for you to obey. You know, many times it's very interesting, I find it. When the Christian have no job, they will tell the church, hey, please, okay, please remember, pray for me. I'm looking for a job. So I say the whole church pray. Then finally you got a job. Okay, tell the church, thank God I received a job. 1 month later, oh, this is very bad. And the boss is very bad. The work is very bad. I say, did God answer a prayer or not? You tell me to pray, you ask the church to pray, then you share in the church that God answered your prayer and give you the job. It's either this is not the will of God in the first place, that means you jump into something that is wrong. And if this is the will of God, like what you claim, that means you're not supposed to resign a month or two later. And even if you become very tough, your boss is very difficult to work with, God says, submit. If God put you there, must have a purpose. God must have a purpose. He says that sometimes we look at our comfort, we look at our right and start to question God. And if God really answer your prayer and give you that job, unless you tell me, no, I don't think God give me that, I don't think that is God's will for me to have this job, and then that's a different story. But if you tell me in the first place is God's will for you to have this job, then what happened later is something that you have to learn to apply biblical principle to be the kind of Christian that God expects you to be. So here you find that you must see your earthly employer as one Christ has what we call assigned to you, okay? And that is something that God wants you to learn. There's something that God wants you to do. Sometimes we look at a job, it's just an opportunity to make money. But do you know, sometimes God put us in certain places for a purpose. That's why as we go on, you can see the purpose there, okay? And later you'll find out. Remember that we are accountable to God. And that is the reason why Paul says we must serve with fear and trembling. You know, if you are really working for Christ, do you think you will take an extended coffee break in the office? If your boss is the Lord Jesus Christ, will you take an extended coffee break? Will you take some of the, like, when I was working, some people, I don't know why, you know, they like to take the toilet roll back home. Then to the point, my project manager then, he was so upset. He would say, how come we spend so much on toilet roll? Then he asked the secretary, keep all the toilet roll. You want to go toilet? Two pieces. Then he said, please give me more. So to control. Then pen also disappear. All the pen, we are working on site, you know, and we go to office, we go on site. And so people don't really care about their pen, you know. And so pen, the secretary bought a lot of pen and just keep disappearing. Don't know what happened to all the pens. Then the boss said, okay, from now on, you take one pen out, you want to get a new one, bring the old one. The one that will be no more ink, one for one. Otherwise you buy another one to replace it first. No, but if you are working for the Lord, Christ is your real master. I think all these things in the office will not take place. And Christians are not supposed to get involved in this kind of thing. No extended coffee break. No extended lunch break. No,
no taking things back home unknowingly, okay? I don't want to say we steal unknowingly. And so here you find that we will not steal from the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us, don't be a man pleaser. Eye service means that a person work only when your boss is looking at you. And it's just like, you know, we always see the kind of scenario in the office. You know, the boss is not there, everybody's talking, you know. Talk about the drama yesterday, talk about the clothing, talk about this, the sales here, sales there. Then you hear the boss coming in, everybody quickly rush to their desk, you know, and start getting very busy. You know, the Bible says, don't be a man pleaser. When I was working, there was this guy, a worker, okay? I don't want to say which country he come from. Otherwise, if you think that I'm racist or whatever, but or prejudice. So every time I assign him some kind of work, it's very slow. And when I ask him, how come your work is so slow? You know, he said, oh, it's very difficult, you know, very tough. And so after a few times, I say something wrong. Something not right here. And so one day, I drop him, I told him exactly what I want him to do. And after that, I drove away. Looked like I'm going to go back to office or somewhere else. But I just make one big round and come right back from the other side. And I sat in the car, in my truck, watching. You know, the moment he saw I'm out, at first he was looking. After that, he know that I'm not around. He just hold on to the what we call the time is not a shower, something like a shower, but then I think it's more like a jungle, I think. So he was holding that, and then he was looking here, looking there, you know, whistling, you know. And that he is man pleaser. You know, when he hear my truck's sound coming, he will start working already. And that's what you do. The Bible tells us we are not supposed to be man pleaser. It doesn't matter whether your boss is watching. Remember, who is your boss now? Christ. And he is always watching. That means we are not supposed to be man pleaser. So you change your boss tomorrow, okay? Not tomorrow. Tomorrow you are not working, you are sitting in the car. So Monday when you go to office, change your boss, okay? Tell your boss, boss, I'm going to submit to you from now on because I'm not working for you. I'm working for Christ. And Christ, our bigger boss. The real master, I should not use the word, I think sometimes not respectful to say, use the word boss for the Lord Jesus Christ, our real master in heaven. I'm working for him, and I will submit to you. I will do what you ask me to do, as long as you don't ask me to do anything against the scripture. So now, change your boss, okay? Next, change your goal. Change your goal. Have a different goal. So what is your goal in life? What is your goal when you go to the office to work? Is your goal promotion, increment, recognition, fame, glory? If you work for promotion, what happens if you don't get it? Or what happens if someone else gets the promotion instead? If you are working for promotion, obviously you get very upset. If you are working for increment, more income, what happens if instead of getting increment, you get a pay cut? You will never be satisfied if you are working for all those things. Because you find that you always want to have higher position. You always want to have more increment. And so if that is your goal, you will never be satisfied. Instead of all those things, we must work for the real fulfillment. Job fulfillment. The real job fulfillment. Many of us have experienced what we call the satisfaction of fulfillment of having completed a project. When I was working, I liked my job as a project manager. Not project manager, I was working kind of on project management thing. And it's fun because you find that every job, you have a starting point and you have a kind of like a deadline, okay? You stop there, and then you get completed, you hand over, then you celebrate. Then you start another one, and then you work for a year or two, or a few months, then you finish it, and then you have a celebration. And that's fun, I like it. That's why I enjoy working in construction. And so you find that, however, I'm not talking about also vocational fulfillment, but rather what we call spiritual fulfillment. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 6 say, not with eyes service as man pleaser, but as a servant of Christ. Now, your master, your real master is the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, as a servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Do you know, you can be doing the will of God in your work office? You know, you don't have to be a pastor to do the will of God. You don't have to be a missionary, not just the missionary or the pastor doing the will of God. Not. You can do the will of God. An accountant can do the will of God. A worker in the office can do the will of God. If this is what God wants you to do, then you can do the will of God in your workplace, because he is talking about servant here. And so you can be doing the will of God in your office. And that is your spiritual fulfillment, because you are serving Christ. You are not serving your earthly employer. You are not serving the company. If you are working for what we call vocational fulfillment, then you will not be happy until you find the right job. A job that you rely, a job that matches our ability and gifts. Do you know, in the working world, not many people find that kind of job. Majority of the people complain about their job. Not many, okay, in all this year of my ministry, that people come to me, Pastor, this is a job that fit my talent. It's just right for me. I tell you, most of the people complain about their job. This is not a good job. It's very tiring, very demanding, you know. Everybody complain about their job. I don't know why. But when they pray, before they join the company, they say it's the will of God. Then after that, they keep complaining that it's not suitable for me. You see, we can't. Most of the time, we will not be able to find that kind of job in our life. And many people, in fact, perhaps the majority of the workforce, okay, dislike what they are doing, but they need for because of money, okay, they need to work so that they can have money and so they can pay all the expenses. So they are in certain way forced to work in the job that they don't like. That's why many people don't like to go, don't like Monday, they don't like Monday. Somehow they don't like Monday. Monday, that's why they have the term Monday Blue, I don't know why. But then you have that, because people don't like Monday. But I remember one time, I went for training, and they tell me, today is a happy day, because today is a?
Friday.
Friday is a working day. Because everybody look for Friday, you know, so then Monday is not happy. Tuesday is not great, Wednesday is bad, and Thursday is suffering. So every day you feel, oh, it's very difficult. So you have to change. Today is a great day. Today is a happy day, because today is a working day. So you will be happy every day. Because every day you know, why can we be happy? Because today is the day I work and fulfill the will of God in my life. Can we not be happy? I mean, if I'm doing the will of God, then I should be happy. I should have no complaint. You know, if I, as a pastor, as a preacher, God called me to serve Him full time. And so, for me, the most joyful thing is to spend time talking to people about salvation. Talking about God. And that is the joy. I don't worry about not enough time to prepare messages. When someone to talk to me about how to get saved, I don't mind spending hours with them and then later burn midnight oil to finish my messages. Because this is the will of God for my life. And so likewise, if God has called you to be an accountant or to be a secretary, to be whatever you are, or to be an engineer in your workplace, Tell yourself, every day is the day for you to fulfill God's will in your life. Until God calls you to do other things. So, tell yourself, every day is a great day. Because this is the day I want to fulfill the will of God in my life. So that's why the will of God tells us that if we do it, to do the will of God from the heart. That's this story. I'm not really sure whether you heard that or not. This is not a real story, okay? If you can, switch off the recording now. Otherwise, you take that portion and put in the interview, in the internet and say, Pastor Dudo preach heresy. So I make it very clear. This is a legend. This is not a real story. But this one somehow kind of bring the message across. That it was told. There was a day. Our Lord Jesus Christ was with the disciple. They were walking along. And then, out of the blue, the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot find this in the Bible, okay? Talk to the disciple. Now pick up a rock. Now pick up a stone, whatever you think is suitable. Pick one up. And bring with you. And so everybody, pick a rock. Now, what do you do? Pick a rock. Okay. Take a small one out there. Not too big, because too big is hard to carry, am I right? I think a small one that you can throw as you walk, you know. Or the one that you can put in the pocket and kind of easy to travel. And so at the end of the day, in the evening, they come and to the resting place. And Jesus turned that rock into bread. Are you for this? We should call a big one. Just so everybody say, I make a mistake. Why not bring a bigger one? So the next day, same thing happened. Oh, now it's smart already. Make a roll. Everybody grab a big one. Pick a roll. Okay. So it was a difficult day. It was a really difficult day. They were carrying the rock and finally come to a resting place. They were so happy. Now it's time to enjoy. The Lord Jesus Christ said, throw that rock into the river. Everybody definitely was not happy. When they were upset and complaining, the question from the Lord will be, for whom do you carry the rock? Who? Why do you carry the rock? For whom do you carry the rock? Are you carrying it because you want to obey the Lord? Or are you carrying it for your own benefit? See, when we work, if Christ is our master, if our goal is to fulfill God's will in our life, is there anything too difficult? Is there such a thing called bad bosses? Difficult job? A job can be difficult, but we should have no complaint. We will work it out, somehow spend some time, think through and solve the problem. Difficulty, all this can be solved, but there's no such thing as it's bad, no, and this company is bad, and all these things, no. Because if you are there fulfilling the will of God for your life, there should be no complaint. You can be carrying a big rock, and at the end of the day, God say, throw it to the river. If this is what God wants you to do, you will be counted faithful. And faithful servant. But if you deep down in your heart is working for your own self, working for some other fulfillment, working for some other satisfaction, then you will not be counted a good and faithful servant. If you have to carry stones at work, remember, carry them for the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what the task, if Christ gives you a job, he must have some value in it. Colossians chapter 3. Please turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22.
Colossians chapter 3 verse 22, where the word of God says, servant, again talking to those who are working.
So for those young people, you take note of all these things in the future when you start working, and this is what it comes in, okay?
And I believe you can also apply in some time in your school time as well. And here in the Bible, if you find that in Colossians chapter 3 verse 22, the Bible says, servants, obey in all things. Oh, that I find for God actually cover everything. All things, not just something. All things, your master according to the flesh. That means the earthly master. Not with eye service as man pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto man. You're doing it for the Lord. So you're supposed to be happy. So every day, if this is God's will for you to work in that particular company, every day you should be able to say, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say, rejoice. I'm back in my office and I'm here to fulfill the will of God for my life. God expects us to do the best we can at whatever workplace He put us in. Christians supposed to be the best wherever they are, because they are serving Christ. Then finally, change your view. Okay, change the way you look at things. That's what I mean, okay? Actually, maybe a better one is change your perspective, change your view. So here you find that if you go back to Ephesians chapter 6, here the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 8, knowing, okay, that's interesting, the word of God, when the Bible says knowing, that means something that you know already. Something that you know already and you just said maybe you have forgotten. And so the writer, as he was inspired by God, had to remind you, knowing that whatsoever good things any man doeth, the same shall receive of the Lord, whether he be born or free. Whether you are the master or you are the servant, whatever you do for the Lord, you are going to receive, the Bible says, of the Lord. Eternity put everything into right perspective. When you look at life, with eternity in view, everything changed. You know, I was in Hong Kong many years ago. Hong Kong at that time, okay, was considered a very advanced country. And so I walked along one of the road, and then I can't remember the road. It was in New Territory, and I was waiting for the bus. And then I saw across the road there was a huge junkyard, and then they have those cars stacking one on top of another. That means those cars is going to be flattened. But when I look at those cars, those are not those cars in Malaysia. Cars in Malaysia, when they are ready to be flattened, is really very, very bad. But those are, to me, it was like maybe 3 or 4 years old or 5 years old car. All still look very new. But they are going to be flattened soon, one by one. You know, at one time, somebody actually borrowed money to buy one of them. At one time, somebody actually washed and polished one of the car every day. Almost like worshipping the car. I have a neighbor last time. He moved away. And he I don't know why. To me, it's kind of like strange. Every day, he will wash his car. In the morning, wash his car. At night, for me, it's almost like worshipping his car. He spent more time in his car than other days. So you polish. So at one time, someone actually spent all this time. At one time, someone actually get very, very upset, very, very angry when one of their car got the first minor scratch. That guy jumped up. But after a few years, nobody cared about that car anymore. It's ready to be flattened. But you know, when you start looking, change your view, look at things for
further. Look further. A lot of things that you think is important now is not that important. And so sometimes one of the ways to really have a right perspective of life is that if you imagine, I'm not cursing anyone here, if you imagine that you're going to die tomorrow, what is important today? You know, sometimes we fight over minor things, or we spend all our time working for something that have no eternal value. But if you look at things from this perspective, many things change. The Bible tells in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. You see, time can put the past into a different perspective. You know, time will put things into a different perspective. And you look at eternity. You know, the Bible tells in 2 Peter chapter 3, same writer, okay? In 2 Peter chapter 3, the Apostle Peter said this, as he was inspired by God. Chapter 3 verse 11, seeing then that all these things, referring to the world, shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heaven being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt to fervent heat. You know, you look at things, change your view of how you look at things. This world is not what we are working for. We are not going to stay in this world for long. We are pilgrim. Always remind yourself, we are pilgrim. We are going to leave this place one day. And we are not going to bring anything out from this place anyway. We're not going to bring anything out. You know, like when someone dies, many times people will say, how much does he leave behind when he dies? He left all. He's not going to say, oh, how much? No, it's all, everything. Of course, there are some people who want to bury themselves in a Rolls Royce, but with a Rolls Royce. But then you find that you can't carry anything away with you. But what is the result of our submission? You know, in conclusion, okay, what is the result of your submission to your earthly master? What is the good things that can come out from such a thing? The Bible tells us that we will receive more grace from God. That's the first thing. You know, you find that, you know, 1 Peter again. Go back to 1 Peter. Chapter 2 verse 19, okay? 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 19, for this is thanksworthy, if a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Then in verse 20, for what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your fault, ye shall take it patiently. But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. The word thankworthy in verse 19 and acceptable in verse 20 came from the same Greek word, charis, which means grace. God will give more grace. And when we think that we come to the end of all our resources, when we feel that we are being pushed to the corner in our life, it's so difficult, you know, the grace of God just began. You can move on. And sometimes God wants to bring us to those moments in our life to teach us to depend on Him instead of on our own self. Matthew chapter 5 verse 11 to 12 say, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and ye shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So
For so persecuted them the prophet which were before you. If you do the will of God, you know that it's God's will for you to be in this workplace, and you do your best, and you submit to your earthly boss, and you suffer for Christ because you are serving Christ in that workplace, God says you get your reward. Your reward in heaven is great because God put you there for a purpose. And I tell you the purpose, okay? One of the purpose is found in Titus chapter 2 verse 9. Titus chapter 2 verse 9. Again, you have to do with servant, okay? Or slave. In Titus chapter 2 verse 9. Hear the word of God tell us in Titus chapter 2. Are you all there? This will be the final two verses. I know you are very sleepy now. I hope you are still awake. In Titus chapter 2 verse 9, hear the word of God say, exhort servant to be obedient unto their own master and to please them well in all things. You make sure you please your master well in all things. That means your earthly master, your earthly bosses, not answering again. Don't go against your boss. Not answering again. Not purloining. Don't keep back some of the things or take things away. That's what it means, okay? Keep back, okay? And not, but showing all good fidelity. That means you be loyal to your earthly boss, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, in all things. When you serve your unsaved master well, it will somehow make the gospel attractive. It beautifies the gospel. Your maybe lousy boss may get saved because of you. Your some or other colleagues with you see the way you submit to your boss. See how you obey. See how you submit. See how you keep quiet. May be attracted to the belief that you have and ask you questions concerning your faith. Why are you so different? Because you want to reflect Christ.